Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the first episode of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel, a podcast where two buddies talk and sort of figure it out as they go along. I am Daniel O'Brien.
And I am Soren Bowie.
Yeah, we should give the people some context, because we worked closely together for 10 years. We were buddies for a decade out in Los Angeles.
I would say you were my best friend.
You would say that?
Yeah.
Take that, Soren's wife.
Well, obviously in the same way that a wife is supposed to be a best friend, yeah, all that counts. But you were like my best friend.
Yeah, if I were to rank my best friends in Los Angeles, number one, gotta be the fans. Two, the city. Three, Soren.
I mean, that's a bronze medal. That's still on the podium. I'll take it.
We wanted to start a podcast, and then I did the stupidest thing I ever did, which was accept a job that was 3,000 miles away for Emmy and Peabody and Writers Guild Award winning Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, and we decided we weren't going to let distance keep this podcast from going, because I think we can all agree that the world needs another podcast where two white guys talk to each other about things they observe.
Finally, white guys getting a fair shake in this society.
It's really, if I had to figure out what this was, it was, I want to stay in touch with you and figure out what's going on in your life because I miss you, but the realities of platonic male phone calls is still kind of a mystery to me.
Yeah, so I've talked to you on the phone before. You're not good at it.
Oh, thank you very much. Yes. Yeah,
I always think you're mad at me.
Yeah.
When you're on the phone, it's you. You don't sound happy. When somebody calls you, this is the way it goes. Somebody will call you and you'll go, yeah.
And then that's right.
And then we'll get to like the meat of the matter, and you have kind of like one word answers, and then it's like, okay. And sometimes there's a goodbye, which is nice. Sometimes it's just like in a movie, like it's just the conversation's over.
It's very rare that I'll say goodbye because it's clear to me that the conversation is over, and it should be clear to you as well. And as far as answering the phone with yeah, they did a study. The average person wastes 12 years of their life saying the second syllable of hello. So if I could just cut that down, I've saved myself over a decade of time.
That can't possibly be true.
No, I said they did a study.
Oh, also we should introduce the other voice you'll hear occasionally, and you'll hear chuckling in the background occasionally.
Who's that? Who you got there?
That is our CFO and our guru, I would say. What do you want your title to be? This is Michael Schroer.
Anything but bacon business daddy. Which was
it's done. It's sealed.
I feel like it's gonna be BBD.
You shouldn't have told us that.
I didn't tell it to you. You guys made it up in the four other versions of us trying to do this.
Bacon business daddy. I think that sticks. Okay, I'm gonna make the shirts. Let me get started on
that. This is a tangent, and then we'll get back on to the rest of this podcast, which is also, in fact, a series of tangents. But that's a strange bit of parallel thinking, because we came up with Bacon Business Daddy several months ago when we first started doing test episodes of this podcast. Since then, one of my coworkers has written into the show that John Oliver refers to AT&T, our parent company, as Business Daddy, and it didn't even occur to me, and we'd never spoken about it. Whoa. But there are now two Business Daddies out in the world.
That's a synchronicity.
This sounds like I've got a copyright claim. It's a John Oliver show.
Oh, now he loves the name. Soren, so we talk about how I'm bad on the phone, even though I'm pretty sure I'm just efficient and I'm only getting what is essential in any conversation, apart from warmth and instilling a sense in the person on the other end of the phone that I care about them and I'm
any
not
sort
mad
of
at them.
Human connection. Yeah, no, I get it.
Yeah. I've also this year by a couple of different people that are sort of new in my life, two separate people have criticized me on the way I text.
I don't have any complaints in that department.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It was one person was just a stranger that I met and started speaking on the in text form too, and she said, "Can I ask you something? Why do you text like that?" And I was like, why don't I let you go further before I say a single word?" And it's because I text exclusively in complete sentences with proper punctuation and no emojis whatsoever.
Yeah.
And she didn't like that. She thought I sounded mad over text.
You know what? I just got a criticism like that recently from my wife that I don't ever use exclamation points in my texts. That like when she'll ask me a question like, "Hey, can you pick up Ronan today?" I say, "Yeah," and then I put a period. And she's like, "Are you upset about that?" And I'm like, "No, period.
No.
What is going on here?"
It was, and I'm not going to change. This is a thing that I don't feel bad about. Like, I've heard your complaints. And then I talked to another friend of mine that I knew a little bit better. And I was like, "Hey, let me ask you something. I just got this new person. They just started complaining about something." And she goes, "Is it the way you text?" I'm like, "Fuck." It's a thing.
Oh, no. It's not me. It's the world. It has to be the world. No, I'm the same way. It's because that's like words are make the world coherent. That's how we work. But there's like these new agreed upon rules that I didn't agree to, which are you really got to convince somebody you aren't mad at them at every single moment.
Right. Because the argument that came at me was, this is just how people text. It's how we communicate. We're like, no. We solved that already. We figured it out. We have a bunch of rules. We put them in books. We put them in emails. We skywrite them. And they work fine. And if you just trust the system that has always been, I mean, you know, I'm an old person who's going to die. And this is what we sound like as the Titanic sinks.
If I have one complaint about texting, it's that I'm not allowed to use italics in texts. Because I feel like I can really sell some jokes better that way.
Yeah. You know what? So we're both TV writers. You write for American Dad.
I
very
do.
Funny show.
Thanks.
I write for Last Week Tonight with John Oliver.
What awards is that one?
I have won a Writers Guild Award of America. The show has won many, many more awards, and I cannot take credit for them.
Wait, hold on. Did you really win it? Was it your episode that won?
For Writers Guild?
Yeah.
I mean, everybody works on every episode.
Okay, so the way it works in my show is everybody just writes one character. So I'm like a Roger. I write Roger.
And you don't talk about it in advance. You never talk to each other.
No. We just sort of write something out and then we just put it together and that's the show.
Yeah. But are your scripts, when you write them, are they all capital letters?
Of course.
Yeah, ours too. And I can't do italics or anything like that. It drives me crazy.
Well, yeah, because we write them as text to each other.
Yeah.
Everybody's always like, "Why are your scripts so mad all the time?"
So the thing people should know about this podcast is it's called Quick Question, because we're just going to ask each other a bunch of questions. And a lot of it is going to revolve around me having difficulty navigating the world, which is why I ask Soren if I'm texting and making phone calls like a human, like an acceptable thing. And he will generally ask me questions about pop culture because he owns a house and has a wife and a child and doesn't really have as much time as I do to just sit around and watch TV.
Yeah.
And internet all day.
I had a realization the other day. There's a bunch of the Marvel Netflix universe that I've never caught up on. And I've always thought, It's one of those things in my life where I'm like, you know, eventually I'll learn karate or something. But I think, yeah, at some point I'll watch those shows. I'll catch up on all that. And I just had this realization. I was like, you know, it's not going to happen. There's just things I'm not going to be. They're just going to have to pass me by because I don't have the time. I don't have the bandwidth for it.
Yeah. As we're recording this podcast, Avengers is far and away the most popular movie of all time and the highest grossing thing. And leading into it, I was going to ask you what your thoughts on it were. And then I thought, you know, I bet he hasn't seen Ant-Man and the Wasp yet.
So the order in which I've watched the Marvel movies, I guess like the most generous version of it is that it's perplexing. I think I have seen Ant-Man and the Wasp. I have not seen Ant-Man.
Okay.
I've seen the Civil War. I didn't watch the first two Captain Americas. Yeah, so I'm all over the place. I'm a real moving target. But I will watch this last one when everyone else is done talking about it in August.
Yeah, well, I'll talk to you about it then. We'll chat about it.
Okay.
I'll always want to talk about it. It's like even just your approach to these movies is strange to me. When you say, "I think I saw Ant-Man and the Wasp," is like baffling to me.
Yeah, let's
see. Did you see a movie with an Ant-Man and a Wasp sword?
Yes, but the Ant-Man is in all of them. He's in so many of them. But the Wasp was there. Is that Kate Beckinsale?
No.
Oh, damn it. Wait.
But that's Evangeline Lilly, but I think that's forgivable.
Yeah, but her dad is HPV in the throat guy.
Yes, Michael Douglas.
That's the one.
So you're not completely flying blind. You know some stuff. You know the important stuff.
I wouldn't say that, but I there's some things that have not passed me by.
You know that Evangeline Lilly kind of looks like Kate Beckinsale, and that Michael Douglas got throat cancer from going down on Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Yes.
I mean, I think we can close this podcast now. You know all the most important stuff.
I'm caught up on culture. We'll do this again in a year when new things arise.
What is, because I'm pretty sure you're watching Game of Thrones, but
yes,
which we'll get into. But separate from that, what are you consuming right now, pop culturally?
Yeah, so a lot of HBO actually. So Barry I watch, and Game of Thrones I watch, and like the Leaving Neverland documentary, which was just brutal, and that's pretty much it. I also watch some stuff on Netflix when it comes up. Like there's some comedies on Netflix that I really like. I Think You Should Leave. Is that what it's called?
Yeah. Yes, it is.
And I watch Pen 15 on Hulu. And then I watch a lot of cooking stuff because I usually watch TV at my lunch break. And so I'm in the mood to watch something that looks more delicious than the food I'm eating. And so I watch like street food, or I watch Chef's Table. And I just love the pretension of those shows.
See, I never watch any of those cooking shows.
Oh, man. You're missing out. It's they've locked in the bliss point of what it's like to consume food with your eyes. Like they know exactly what it should look like, how the prep should look for you. And then there's a lot of these like long panning shots that you're like in a Kubrick movie. Like you're slowly moving across the table towards some food, and there's great music under it and everything, and a lot of slow motion. And all of it feels like there has a lot of gravitas to it until you realize these people are just making food.
Yeah. I do know, like, if I have one on, then, or if one is on in the room, I will be hooked on it. The cooking shows, and especially the cooking reality shows, because they also have this down to a science that just, like, gets into your brain and makes the most important thing you've ever seen.
ASMR. Like, it's ASMR for your eyes, basically. Like, it just feels good watching it.
Yeah. I was in Los Angeles, Hollywood, California, and staying in a hotel when I was I had to fly back to get surgery on my wrist a few months ago.
Yeah.
And it's hotel, so you put on whatever, you know, power on the TV and whatever's on is on. And it was like celebrity version of Chopped. And I watched like 9 episodes straight. I don't even know who any of these people are. It's like, oh, it's this weird snake looking guy from Pawn Stars, and it's one of the Real Housewives of something, and I now have very strong opinions over which one of them wins this thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you get invested so quickly. That's the Great British Baking Show is really the one that hooked me, because that one, I'd never seen a contest show like that where there's just zero ego from any of the competitors, and everybody seems so earnest and good. Like I want to be friends with all of them. It just,
yeah, that's,
I didn't know you were allowed to do that. I thought everyone had to be cutthroat, and at the beginning every single person had to say, I'm not here to make friends.
And Bake Off, they're explicitly there to make friends.
Yeah, I know. They're there for the memories, and that's it.
Yeah.
Because at the end, you win a glass dish, and that's it, which is very anticlimactic.
Is it like a ceremonial award glass dish that you hang up, or is it like a nice...
I don't think you could hang it. It's a glass cake stand, and that's what you win. You can't...
That kind of
sucks.
That's
not a cookbook you can sell or anything like
that. No.
Anyway, those are the things I watch. What are you consuming?
Right now, I just burnt through Tuca and Birdie.
Oh, man. Yeah. Is that good?
It's so good. And I'm going to not spoil it, but like sort of thematically spoil it. It's executive produced by Raphael Bob Wachsberg from BoJack Horseman and Internet Sketch before that. And it's created by one of his writers, Kate Hanlon, I want to say. And it's just silly and fun. Like, this is the part where I'll spoil it, because I watched the first few episodes, and it was just joyful, and all the characters are very warm and charming and silly and ridiculous. And I was talking in my group chat with my friends, and I was like, watch the show. Silly, fun, pointless, mindless, great. By about midway, it takes a real turn, And I didn't know that until a day later. So I had to go back to my friends and I was like, update. It's not silly and pointless. It gets very serious. And I just need you to know that I know that before you get to that episode.
Yes. I did that with Sex Education, but I watched it out of order. I don't know why, but Netflix started me. Maybe because I'm sharing my password with people. But I watched Netflix, the third episode first by accident. And I started just watching it from there and thinking, this show is great. And I started recommending it to other people. And then I went back and watched the first episode, which opens up with some pretty hardcore sex. And I was like, I need to call some folks.
Yeah. You know, I got a couple of things I have to say about this. It's possible that people are sharing your password and that's why you're seeing it out of order. But it's possible not, because I don't know if you know this, but Netflix is doing this thing where they're testing out randomizing episodes of shows to see what that does to their algorithm. And I don't know if they would do that with Sex Education. I think they're starting with The Office, because that's still the thing that people watch the most on Netflix right now. Oh. And they were just going to set it so you play an episode of The Office, and normally at the end they say, do you want to go to the next episode? And it would be the next one sequentially. But now they're going to test out their algorithm to see if the experience is better or keeps you in the app longer if they just take you to any random episode of The Office.
Can I just say I don't care for that.
I don't know if I care for that or not. Like I
it's like watching it in syndication.
Yeah, which is why I don't know if I care for it or not. Like I Seinfeld's on TBS all the time, and unless it's like the two-parter with Keith Hernandez or the two-parter with Los Angeles, I don't know if I'm going in order or not.
Yeah, well, then you put
and I don't mind it.
You can have it out of order. You just have like the series page. You put a little dice on there. You roll that. You can go to a random one. Hey, I solved it for Netflix. Let me call them. What's the president's number?
I don't know. Sarandos? Sarandos? Can you get his name by his number by me saying his name twice?
Yep, did it. No, I've got him. It's fine. I texted him. He seems very upset with my text. He thinks I'm angry at him.
The other thing I wanted to say about Sex Education is that I enjoyed that show, but I'm at this weird point in my life where I know that the actors playing the teenagers are in their 20s and maybe even 30s, but they're still playing high schoolers and they're all very hot and often naked. And I don't know. Like I don't feel like dirty or like a pervert when I'm watching that show. I also don't feel like comfortably horny or anything like that. It's just a strange thing that I never used to think about with movies starring 20-year-olds playing teenagers.
Yeah. Hold on a second. I'm writing down a quote. Dan doesn't feel comfortably horny.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I don't feel uncomfortably horny. I should be clear.
I kind of agree with you because it's a little unnerving that, it's glorifying the sex of high schoolers. But I think all media has done that forever, right?
Like, I know. I think I just finally reached an age where it's noticeable and uncomfortable to me.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's fair.
Yeah.
We brushed past something earlier that I think you should explain to our listeners because I imagine they're curious. You had surgery on your wrist.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you want to tell everybody what happened to you?
Is that what you were teeing up? So our show goes on hiatus from November to January, and I use that time to go back to Los Angeles briefly and finish.
It sounds like you're about to be arrested, by the way.
Yeah, I know. This story is like too scary. I went back to Los Angeles to finish packing up my apartment and saying goodbye to a few people, and I had a planned like 2 or 3 day trip to Catalina Island that I wanted to follow through on. And so, yeah, I was back in Los Angeles and it was a Sunday morning and my plan was I'm going to go to church to catch up with my church folks. And then my friend Nick and Crystal and I, we were going to go down to Malibu and have some brunch in Malibu. And I was going to have a nice, nice old wholesome Sunday. And on the way to church, a car made an illegal U-turn in the middle of the road and then lingered in the bike lane. This is on Westwood coming towards Santa Monica. So it's this big, steep hill. And I just couldn't. The car ahead of me wasn't making a decision one way or the other. And I'm doing that math in my head where I'm just like, if you're staying in the bike lane, I can go around you. But if I make that choice and you suddenly dart out, then I'm going to run into you. So just like I'm waiting on him to hopefully make a choice. And then he doesn't. Then I hit my brakes and I go flying over the bike and I land on my wrist and it's bad. And for a while, I have adrenaline. And like, I know my wrist hurts, but I lift my hand up and I wiggle my fingers and I'm just like, that means everything's fine. And so I continue walking to church. And then I text Nick and I'm just like, we might be late for brunch. Just like, I just took a bad fall. So I was like, I'll keep you posted, but I think it's going to be fine. And I was still just thinking like, let me get to church and let me sit for a while. If I have an hour to figure this out, I'll know what I'm doing. And then I walked a little bit longer. And then I called my mom, who was a nurse. I'm like, hey, no big deal. I think I broke my wrist. Is that an urgent care thing or an emergency room thing? And this is why we have a podcast, Soren. I wouldn't have to bother my mom. I could have just asked you.
That's why I brought it up.
And Nick picked me up and took me to the hospital. And they did a bunch of, you know, they do weird stuff in emergency rooms. They like suspended my hand from this medieval looking thing so that the muscles would relax and like gravity would pull things down so they could, once that's all done, shove my bones back into place and wrap it up. And they did that, and it was bad enough that I needed to come back a few weeks later for surgery, where they put an 8-inch metal plate and like 12 screws. And it was a good surgery. I mean, Kaiser Permanente fucking blows as a hospital factory and an insurance organization, but they don't operate in New York. Those stupid candy ass dipshits, so I'll never have to deal with them again. And
And you still have metal in your wrist?
I do. I'll have metal in my wrist forever, but it doesn't set off metal detectors.
But can you bend it? Like, you have the ordinary flexibility of a human being?
Yeah, it's not 100% yet. It won't be 100% until probably December of this year. But I can do any of the normal stuff that I do. I had a detachable splint for a while when I first got back to work. I'm actually lucky that all of my moments of least mobility fell during the hiatus. So it didn't. I mean, I'm a maniac. The good news is that I didn't have to miss any work. Yeah. That's why this is fine. My bright side is, thank God, it only happened during Christmas.
I know you're not asking for advice in this situation, but here it is. If there's one thing I would tell you, Dan, it's that you'll have to at some point get over your unwillingness to inconvenience other people. That a lot of what followed after the bike, well, even the bike accident itself, like I can handle this. I'm just going to go around him. The guy's not the problem. I can figure this out. And then also afterwards texting Nick, not like, hey, I have a compound fracture in my, I can see my own bone. You're texting like, I don't know if I'll make brunch. Well, they're expecting me at church. I should still be there, obviously. And I wonder, my mom, maybe I'll wait till after she's had lunch.
Heading to church, even though lunch. Still going to church, even though God was trying his best to tell me not to.
This was a sign. Yeah, if there's ever been a sign.
It's very fun now to me in retrospect. And I was... Surgery, I think, is a wild thing. Because I had surgery once before on my eyelid when I was in like fifth grade and don't remember it too much. But this, I was... Because they tell you not to eat like 24 hours in advance. And I was flying from Jersey to L.A., sort of overnight, so that expanded my 24 hours just because of time difference. So I was very hungry, and I was just lying in that hospital, like the prepping for surgery for a very long time. You just wait around for hours, and I'd been warned that the anesthesia, when you eat afterwards, it might make you nauseous, and I kept asking about the nausea and about what I could eat, mm-hmm. And the anesthesiologist kept like, yeah, I mean... Don't be nervous about it. I know you're nervous. I'm like, no, you don't understand. I've had fucking 29 hours to just think about food, and I'm going to come out of this and I want to eat and I want to know what I can eat. And like, it's not about nerves. What can I have? Please just tell me, what can I have?
I'm going to point to some things on a Chili's menu.
Yeah.
And I need you to tell me if it's okay if I consume them.
They also, I'm told that the very first thing I said when I woke up after the surgery was, I ordered a beer. Because I really wanted one.
Wait, from one of the nurses? You're just
yes.
Like...
Yeah. Because that was another thing. I get nervous flying, and I get nervous before surgery, and I hadn't had anything to drink for all those nerves, and I just woke up and was like, oh, good, I'm allowed to drink. Allagash Cheerio, please. Oh, that's so funny. I'm like, yeah, no, I could tell you where they sell them around here. I know the area. There's the Bristol Farms, the one where I got my accident. They sell it there. It's $22, but you can get it there.
Please, I will give you. I'll give you $1,000 to do that for me right this minute. Wow. Yeah. So that you had God actually telling you not to go to church, and you went anyway. That's
yeah.
I don't know if he would be mad, or he feels like a Job situation where he was like,
so when
I'm sitting with the devil, and he was like, hey, watch this shit.
I'd say it's a mutual respect thing. Okay. That'll be the one that sends me right to hell. The other thing, when I talk to the doctor, because you don't need to get this surgery with the plates.
Okay.
Like, I could have just done the longer healing with the cast, but he's, A, that you're in a cast for a very long time, and I didn't want that. And B, he said, yeah, you might want the metal plate in there because your bones otherwise will just fall out.
Wait, what? What?
That was the only explanation he gave me, was that they would fall out.
Into where? Like, I don't know. Your cereal?
That's what, and that's when I got back to work, and it was actually crazy because we had our first meeting of the year, and I had a cast, and one of the other writers, Owen Parsons, had like a medical boot for a foot injury, and one of our producers also had a cast. And so we just had to go around the room and explain what happened, and John was like, what happened to you? And I was like, well, I was on my way to church. And he's like, no, what happened? I was like, I broke my wrist. He's like, okay, can you, what's going on now? I was like, there's a metal plate, and I need to keep it in there or else my bones will fall out. And he said, they'll fall out? And I go, yeah, it's, wandering bones syndrome. And so I was just, that was my nickname for a while, was wandering bones, which I'm fine with.
That's a great nickname.
I love it, yeah. It's gone now.
I did, so when I was in high school, I'm not high school, in college, I sprained one ankle and broke the other one simultaneously. Doing Jesus. Something dumb. Yeah. And
like trampolining or a drunk stunt?
I was, so there was in my dorm, there were a set of stairs that would go down, and then there'd be like a platform landing, and then another set of stairs down the other direction. Like,
you could have said not trampolining.
No. And I figured out that I could run down steps, grab the railing in the middle, run up the wall of the landing and down the next set of steps. And I was going on a date, and I was like, she's gonna love this. And did it, and like, and because I was so enthusiastic and I had that adrenaline pumping, I overshot it and landed all the way at the bottom of the next set of steps, and broke one ankle and sprained the other. When I went to the doctor, they did x-rays, and they're like, well, you have a bone at the end of your, very tip of your, at your ankle, and you can see on this x-ray you've broken it off. And I was like, okay, do I need a cast or anything? I'm like, no. It won't ever reattach. It's just in there. And I was like, okay, well, what's going to happen to it? And they go, it'll move in your body, and eventually your body will absorb it. And I was like, oh, no, get it out. So maybe that might be wandering bones syndrome.
And did you, so these are our differences. As soon as you hit the ground, you knew you needed to go to a doctor?
Yeah, I told her, I need to go to the ER, can you drive me? And she said no.
That's smart. Oh, damn.
Well, she had other things going on. She also had a meet the next morning. And so, but I got somebody from my dorm to take me. And that's when they were like, they felt the first ankle because I showed them the other one first because it looked worse because it was all black and blue. And they're like, yeah, this is a grade 3 sprain. And they're like, trying to get a feel for the structure of my ankle. And they're like, well, we need to feel the other one. I was like, funny story. And I showed them the other one. They're like, Jesus, how are you walking around? And this is, the reason I say that you need to learn is not just to be willing to inconvenience people is I have lived a life very similar to yours, I think. And in college, mm-hmm. I was not willing to do that. And so I spent that whole, I didn't wear cast. I didn't have crutches. I just gutted it out, and it was a huge mistake. Like, I can still hear when I run upstairs my ankle clicking.
Jesus. Now, is this ER or was this like campus hospital?
No, this is ER.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so that, I think that's it's good that you're better now. I remember you being a little dark for a little while there, where you were very unhappy that it happened. And when anyone taught, when we'd have texts or things like that, we'd be talking about something else, and someone would casually forget that that's what had happened to you and ask if you were going out or something. You're like, no, I broke my arm.
Yeah, it was, I was pretty unhappy because I had a whole thing built in my head that I was going to finish my first season on this dream job of a show, do some celebrating and parting parties at Los Angeles, and then use the rest of the hiatus to move into my new wonderful apartment in New York and start this next phase of my life. And it's moving sucks with one arm. Christmas shopping sucks. Everything sucks with one arm. It's really bad. And
I mean,
I'm,
even
and like,
brushing your teeth and shampooing your hair is...
Everything, yeah.
So I can't even imagine actually having to do those huge things.
Yeah. But now it's in the past and it's fine.
Yeah, and it's good that you actually look back on it fondly. That's nice.
Yeah.
Nice little
But I you mentioning falling in college reminds me that I've had many opportunities to learn this lesson. I fell playing racquetball with my friend Nancy in college and got a concussion and kept playing racquetball. like, blacked out for like a second and then got right back up. And she was like, "Are you okay?" And I was not. I had like tunnel vision. But I was like, "Good enough to kick your ass."
Yeah, that sounds about right. That's,
we played for a while. And then she was like, "Do you want me to take you to Canvas Hospital?" I was like, "No, it's totally fine. I just have a headache." And I got in my car and I drove her to her house. And we get to her house and I say, "Nancy, I think you should take me to the hospital." She said, "Why?" I said, "Because I don't remember how we got here. And I drove us here." And that was a dumb thing to do. And I should have learned then and there to go to the hospital when things go wrong. And then a few years later, when I got hit by a car in New York, I went to a bar and drank with my friends.
That's
because
right.
That was the plan. And don't want to inconvenience Ben. Don't want to bother Ben Joseph. Have him take me to the hospital.
I guess I forgot you got hit by a taxi and ran away.
I was very embarrassed, and I didn't want to bother anyone.
Yes, I know. Well, I think we should start the show. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, we've sort of been doing it. You can ask me each other questions.
Yeah, well, I have a quick question for you.
Oh, go ahead.
I have been watching Game of Thrones, and I don't know if you kept up with the hubbub after the most recent one, but there was a coffee cup in Winterfell.
Yeah.
Looked like maybe a Starbucks coffee cup on the table in front of Daenerys at the Grand Feast.
Yes, you're right that it did look like a Starbucks coffee cup, but it was not a Starbucks coffee cup. It was a different brand.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't drink coffee, so...
No, that's fine. And that's not a thing that I would like correct you about in real life, but I'm trying to establish our different brands on this show as me as like pedantically thorough and you as aggressively normal.
Yeah, you can't spell pedantically without Dan.
No, you can't. Can't spell Daniel either. No, you can. Can't spell pedantically without Daniel.
Pedantic. Okay, yeah.
Yes. Can't spell Daniel without Dan. Hold on. I gotta go through the whole list of words that have Dan in them.
Yeah,
Rodanth. Hotel Rwanda. That's it. Those are all the words that have Dan in them.
I think you got them. So a lot of people, you and I have been on sets before, through Cracked, the site we used to work for, and we did a lot of sketch comedy and videos and series for them. Mm-hmm. And I was baffled by the complaints that I saw online. People saying, "This show has this big a budget and no one could have caught that, that in Winterfell there was a coffee cup." It's like this big assumption that when you're on a set, that entire set, like that, all of Winterfell, nothing that's anachronistic is out there. When in reality, it's just the shot in which that's the case. That shot is littered with water bottles and coffee mugs and all kinds of people's jackets and shit like that. That you just, it's barely out of frame.
Right. And you have to know that, like, every actor who's on there, two things. They've been sitting there for a very long time because it takes a while to even if the shot is like 2 seconds of Tormund raising a glass and you see Dany at the table with a cup in front of her. Even if it's 2 seconds, she's been sitting there for a very long time. And she probably has a water bottle, probably has a coffee, maybe has a script. And you don't know when you're gonna start. And you just have sort of a vague idea of where the frame is. Like, you could see her in that shot that she's... Not only is there a coffee cup there, she's barely doing any acting.
Yes.
Because we are supposed to be looking at Tormund right now. And the directors know that, and the DP knows that, and the actors all know that. Like, Dany, this is not your shot. And small corner of table, this is not your shot either. In an ideal world, like, I think people would be surprised how many stray coffee cups are probably in your favorite movies.
There's
the
tons,
only reason
yeah.
that we're really going to catch it now is because everyone's going to watch Game of Thrones 9 times the minute it comes out and analyze every frame of it looking for things.
Not only that, but every single one of those people assume that you're that like that coffee cup was sitting there for the full 2 hours that they were setting up that shot. When in actuality, there's probably like 100 shots that they have of her doing that little smile thing at John that that coffee cup is not there.
Yes.
But for some reason, you know, in the editing, they're just realizing, no, this is the better one. This is, we have Tormund and then the rack to her is much better here. And we're just going to, we know the coffee cup's there. It's a fuck up. We fucked up one shot. There was like 15 seconds of footage, but you know, it's just the best shot. So this is the one we're going to use. And
yeah, and I'm sure that
we're teaching, when we yell about it on Twitter, we're not teaching the DP that he fucked up. He's like, I know it was there.
Like, I'm probably, they must have had a conversation. They're like, you know, it'll cost an additional $8 million to edit that cup out, or we could do another $15 million to reshoot the scene. And someone said, you know, if they notice the coffee cup, we're not doing our jobs right, and maybe we'll edit it out later. And they did edit it out later, but I fully believe that they knew it, and were just like, yeah. Oh, you guys noticed the coffee cup. Did you notice the dragons, too?
Yeah.
We're doing a lot on this show.
At the end of Game of Thrones, I would like them to go back through and say, okay, here's how much it would have cost to take that out. Here are the scenes you wouldn't have had we done that. Here's a scene that cost the exact same amount that you loved.
It's gone. We would have taken the coffee cup out, and then at the last episode, there'd just be like, oh, and Tyrion, he moved to a farm. Sorry we didn't get to close that loop, but he's at a farm now.
But yeah, we would be on set. Underneath the table where you're sitting, there is just a pile of stuff. There's everything you could possibly need because you're sitting there for 4.5 hours.
Red Bulls and scripts and waters and phones.
Yeah, weather is changing. Yeah. The temperature in the room. Like, yeah, you need to eat and drink. And it's all there. Your script is there. And this, even on a full set, there's just going to be stuff that you miss. Because if you were to pan back at all in that scene, you'd see all that other bullshit that's on set. And it's so easy to miss stuff with your naked eye unless you're really looking for it.
Right. And also sets are exhausting. Like, we filmed After Hours. That would be a thing that we filmed overnight. And we were very tired and only getting older. And it's very hot because you can't run air conditioning and you're under hot lights. And you're doing dialogue that is often very dense. We were like, an argument is just a half page monologue that you're memorizing at 3 o'clock in the morning. And then someone will say, oh, of the 3 takes we got, nobody realized the script was on the table the whole time. And there are genuine moments where I was going to be like, but do you think we got it, though?
Can we just leave
the script on the table? Because I don't want to do this anymore.
And you have script supervisors. You have people who are there to like look for that kind of thing. But it's not always them who catch it. Sometimes somebody, an actor on set will be like, oh, wait, your script's out. Or like, oh, wait, is this water bottle in shot? Oh, yeah, I guess it is. Okay, well, let's move it. It's like everybody's kind of like working together, man. We're just trying to make this thing.
Right.
And to watch everyone come down on Twitter with this sanctimony, it just pissed me off.
Yeah. Yeah. Good question, Soren.
Well, you know, a common theme you'll discover is that all my questions are, hey, have you heard about this thing? I really want to talk about it. You just sit there. I'm going to talk.
You got it. Hey, Soren, quick question.
Yeah.
Oh, and this is also just a rare brief tangent. I feel like I've talked about the job that I have a lot, and that's not going to be a theme. I'm not going to constantly talk about Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. It just happened to come up a lot in this episode. Anyway, end of brief rare tangent. Are you familiar? How familiar with Bumble are you? The dating app Bumble.
I know that Bumble is a site that works like a Sadie Hawkins dance. Where the
okay,
girls
I thought have sight to was going to be the oldest part of that sentence, but go on.
Where it's an app, and the girls have to initiate the first move.
Yes, that's right. It's like every dating app you've seen where you swipe right if you like someone, left if you don't like someone, and if you match, you're allowed to talk to each other, but the woman has to make the first move within 24 hours, or if you want, you could extend it another 24 hours if she doesn't make that first move to let her know that you're extra interested.
Oh, so she gets a notification. If you were like, well, I'm gonna prolong this, she gets a little notification that says, he's really looking for you to say something.
Yes, but only 24 additional hours.
Okay.
And if she's not on the app for 48 hours or 72 hours, then this whole story will miss her. She'll never know.
Okay.
I got a quick question for you about a thing. Because you put your name and your pictures and like where you went to school and your job. Like the first thing they'll see is your main picture Daniel, my age, job at blank, and school. And when I first got here and was on Bumble, I had my profile just says writer at Last Week Tonight, because that was my job. And my friends immediately gave me a mild amount of shit about it. And then I got in my head, because the shit they gave me was like, oh, Daniel O'Brien at Last Week Tonight, huh? And I was like, yeah, it's my job, and I'm super happy to be there. And they were like, okay, no judgment. You're just trying to, like, get girls who are fans of Last Week Tonight, which I wasn't trying to do. But then I got in my head about that it would seem like I was trying to do that. So now it just says writer at TV. And I also feel weird about that, because here's...
Oh, really? Why?
Because there's a whole, like, there are a lot of, like, sub-infuriating things that people do on these dating apps that will, like, always piss me off. If someone will write, like, editor at none of your business, or self-employed at wherever I want. And it's like, well, that's going to annoy me, and I'm gonna get out of here, like, be specific or whatever. But so that's where I'm at now, where I'm writer at TV. Even though, Soren, if I gotta be honest, Soren, it's not TV, it's HBO. So what should I put there for my job?
I will not writer at TV.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, so here's the problem. I don't think you should put Last Week Tonight either, but there are a lot of people who have ruined the term writer. If somebody puts writer on there, there's basically, that's the same thing as doing a jerk off motion with your hand and rolling your eyes. Like, yeah, sure. I'm a fucking writer. So you can't put that.
That's tough because my main picture is a GIF of me doing the jerk off motion.
Okay.
Is that bad too?
You know, so I'm getting a lot of red flags from your profile. Let me just go one by one here.
Yeah, but let's go back. Why do you say don't put Last Week Tonight? Because I kind of agree with that.
Oh, okay. So something that a teacher once said to me a long time ago, because I was a bit of a braggart growing up. I can't remember why I was bragging. It'd been after PE. Maybe we had just done the mile or something like that. And I was like, I was locked into the fact that I had done it in 8 minutes as a child.
All right.
This is still bragging, by the way.
And so she pulled me aside after class and she said, you know, the things that people learn about you by themselves will mean a lot more than if you tell them.
Man, I wish I had a single good teacher.
And I really took that to heart, and I've tried to, like, live by that, because I think it's absolutely true. If people discover stuff about you on their own that's very impressive, they are way more impressed than if you let it slip yourself or if you tell them.
Okay, well then let me run another, for instance, by you. If I just have writer, and, like, I think I can bypass the at part, so I don't need to put TV. What are among the first few icebreaker questions a person can ask if they see a profile that says writer, and you want to find out, does that person actually write? Is it just like, is it waiter who also writes, or is it writer at things? So they're gonna say, what do you write for? And then I'll just tell them anyway.
Yeah,
that's not fun for anybody.
Let's see. You're right. I mean, it is a tightrope walk, Dan. You're not crazy. This, you're not, like, just missing the very obvious answer here. But I think you have to be like, I'm trying to think of the, what did you do at Cracked? Like, when people would be like, what did you do? What do you do?
What do you mean?
You told people you were a developer, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I guess you can't lie. You can't lie to these people. I think you could say, I am a screenwriter. Could you say that?
I mean, I'm not a screenwriter.
It doesn't count? Television doesn't count as a screenwriter?
I guess. No, I mean, no, it's on my head about it. No, I don't know. Check. It's on a screen. I just feel like screenwriter is screenplays in movies. Like, you, like...
So here's what you should do.
Yeah.
You should say, you should put in there, not a TV writer. And when people are like, when people ask, they're like, what do you mean, not TV? And you're like, well, it's not TV, it's HBO.
Yeah, that's gonna start me off on the right foot.
I'm really glad that I found this for you and solved it. This is gonna make your Bumble day.
Soren, I got another quick question for you.
Yeah.
I'm trying to move towards a more chic lifestyle.
Well, okay.
You understand?
Hold on. What? what do you mean?
Oh, chic is defined as living your cruel truth, no matter what the cost.
Okay, go on.
What's a reasonable amount of money to spend on a fancy candle?
Oh my god! What? Okay. How big is the candle?
4 inches.
That's nothing.
Five inches.
Oh, are you giving me a diameter right now, or are you giving me the height?
Height.
Okay, it's 5 inches. And what's the? Is it in like a glass jar?
It's in a glass jar. It's got the label on the front. It's the best smelling candle I've ever had.
Okay, I'd spend $18 on that.
That's probably going to be it for our show. I don't think there should be any more questions.
So, quick question, Dan.
Uh-huh.
Quick question for you.
Mm-hmm.
How much did you spend on the candle?
Can you really put a price on chicness, Soren? And if you could, would it be $60?
Did you mail away for this?
Yes.
Smell.
It smells like a match, to be honest. It smells like match burning, like wood burning. It's like a very it's definitely like masculine, but still like a little bit perfumed to it. I really stand by it.
Like a fragrant campfire? Is that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Bacon's a little bit fancy. Bacon, are you with me on this?
Yeah, I think 60 is completely reasonable.
Whoa.
Dan, you're a chic guy now. You're boho chic, which is the thing I learned.
Bacon's enabling you right now, Daniel.
No, you should, Bacon, before you go any further, you should know that I have a candle that's sitting on like my windowsill because I don't have a table yet.
That I think that's fine. Okay. Do you get...
I don't mean I don't have a candle table. Yeah. I don't have a dining room table or a kitchen table.
That's terrible.
So that means that Dan went out, decided that in his list of priorities of things he needed for his apartment, the first thing was the $60 candle.
Yeah, it's not the first thing. The first thing was a shower curtain.
Yeah, and then he mailed away for it. He didn't go buy it. Dan, do you feel guilty when you burn it, though, because of the cost?
Sure do.
Yeah, that's my problem with everything nice in my life.
You worry about the cost.
I just don't ever use it. Yeah.
In fact, now I'm in my head, I'm going to blow it out right now real quick.
Yeah, you should. Don't waste it. That's the theme of my life is if you get something nice for yourself, you didn't deserve it. So you shouldn't use it.
Wow. Dan, I don't even know if I want to ask where this is from, because then other people might order $60 candles and then we like just live in that world.
Well, I don't know if I could pronounce a single part of this candle's name. The big part of the label in the beginning, it's three words that I think are in French. F-E-U is the first. Fouet.
Okay.
D-E. And then bois, B-O-I-S. Fouet de bois.
Fouet de bois. Okay.
It's from a company called Diptyque.
Oh, man.
Diptyques are nice candles, Dan.
This is
Dan.
The most pretentious candle I've
That's
ever
great.
Heard.
That's great. No, you did a great
Thanks,
job.
Bacon. This is bumming me out.
What's the most you've spent on a frivolous purchase, if indeed you think chicness is frivolous and not futuristic?
Yeah. Well, I can't tell you yet.
Because you haven't bought it yet? Because is it a present for me?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. Now I should just tell you.
We have to keep doing this podcast so people can find out.
I wonder if I should just hold it like an Easter. Yeah, maybe I'll hold on to it.
Oh, man.
Because there's a really funny story behind it too of how I ended up with it and why it cost so much. But I did it and it's done and you will be getting it at some point. It was supposed to be for your last birthday.
I think this is pretty special that the timing worked out that I just blew out a candle and now I'm getting a present.
And now it's actually should be done. It was supposed to be done in April and I can contact the person who is making
Holy
it.
Holy shit.
And ask where this might be. So yeah, I thought maybe I'll wait until the next one, but now that I've told, I spilled the beans. Man, I should just give it to you so that, and also so people aren't just, So the six people who listen to this aren't like, whoa, what the fuck is it?
That's, you can hold on to it and keep it a surprise, and we'll make a reveal of it in one of the later episodes. It's going to be what keeps the quick heads coming back.
Yeah, I think the quick heads. We'll keep searching. I mean,
no, I think we got
the first one. We'll find it. But yeah, that's it. All right. Well, Dan, I have a quick question for you.
Yes, Soren, what is it?
This is also sort of self-serving, so I feel comfortable doing it now. I'm going to
What's self-serving about it? You got me a present.
No, this the Bumble thing and you talking about last week tonight. This only feels self-serving, but I'm genuinely curious if I have like if I have a real complaint on my hands here. I'm going to read a description of a character to you.
Okay.
And you tell me who it is. Okay? The character's name is Soren. He's 5'11 and a half, dirty blonde. His eyes are blue. And the description of the character is on the outside, Soren is brash and overconfident, but with his friend, he's a giant goofball. His joke telling has a long way to catch up with his physical prowess, and unfortunately, the human brain is not a muscle that gets stronger with more squats. Soren comes off as cocky and brash, but is actually charming, charismatic, and kind. Let's see, I don't want to give away too much here. He enjoys making jokes, puns, and teasing others in a lighthearted manner, much to their chagrin.
I mean,
and it goes on like that. So that, if there was a character
first of all,
in all
that's
pop culture, well, who would that be?
Sure. That feels like a you type. And also, if I could just throw out, this is a character description?
This is a character description of an actual character from another media property. This is
from another media, not
this is not After Hours. This is not, that's like the character that we designed for After Hours of who
is it American Dad?
Nope.
Oh,
I thought that's
fun if it's American Dad. If that's one of your like coworkers making a character, basing it off on you just as a way to like say, hey, I get you. And I'm like nudging you with my shoulder because we're pals. This is like buddies shit talking each other.
No, this but, is like genuine IP theft.
what is this in?
This is a show called The Dragon Prince that's on Netflix. It's a cartoon. It's animated. And somebody else brought this to my attention. They brought it up and like, hey, is this you? I was like, no. Oh, fuck, it is me.
Do you know anyone who works on that show?
Nobody. I don't know anyone
who works on that. Holy fucking shit.
Yeah. And that was so I went on the wiki for it and started reading the description. And I was like, this is the character. This is Soren from After Hours. Like, this is the character we made.
Right. That's why I thought for sure it was going to be like someone that you worked with had written in like a minor character into an upcoming episode of American Dad, knowing that you would read that description, because that description is very much like, I'm going to pick on Soren. Not all of those things are true.
No.
Like we would play up you making puns to our chagrin as characters, as like a playful thing to do. And the... It takes a while for people to get his jokes. I don't know where the fuck that's coming from.
Yeah, that there was all that's the things that we were like just sort of like developed along the way of who all those characters were, but like who Soren was in that show. And I started reading this and I was like, yeah, man, they nailed it. That's it. That's the Soren character.
A braggish, dim-witted soldier.
Yeah, doesn't that feel right?
Hey, man, I'm sorry. Yeah. Really, anyway, I'm not too sorry.
Yeah,
it's been on for 2 years. That's pretty cool.
It's fine. I started watching a little bit of the show just to be like, well, let me make sure that I'm not just mistaken. I'm just being arrogant or whatever. And watched the first few episodes. I'm like, oh no, yeah, that's him. That's Soren from After Hours.
Man, that's so crazy. Well. If you don't mind, I'm going to poke around at this mystery for a while, and I'll have something for you for the next episode.
Yeah, please do.
Mm-hmm. Woo.
Well,
do you have any other questions? Well, I think someone based this on you. I think it's just a matter of how we're going to track this down. And,
no,
and,
I meant in the Grinch game. Do you want to end the show soon? Like, what do you
think? Oh, yeah. We've been talking for like 3 hours. What has it been?
Yeah, at least at least an hour.
Yeah. I'm going to pull up our social stuff, but Soren, why don't you say what we always say at the end of every episode?
Yeah. If you reach for the stars, you'll end up at the moon.
That's great. You can follow me at DOB_INC. You can follow Bacon Business Daddy at Make Me Bacon Please, all one word, except please is spelled like internet please, like P-L-S. You could follow the show at QQ_Soren and Dan on Twitter. You could follow us on Instagram at QQ_with_Soren_and_Daniel. You can find our producer and engineer and editor, Vincent, at his website, SiliconBeachPodcast.com. And you can find Soren where?
At Soren, SOREN_LTD on Twitter.
I hear now how it's better if you say it slowly and clearly. I hear that that's better, but...
People have the luxury on their phones of pushing back 15 seconds, and if they do it 20 or 30 times, they'll eventually get all those site names. Man, we got a lot of underscores. How do we nail those? How come nobody picked that up?
Well, you know, something about we really overshot it on those underscores, something, something, something. I don't know how jokes work. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. We will have information on this page that tells you references to everything that we talked about today and let you know when the next episode's going to come out, and make sure you subscribe wherever it is that you subscribe to podcasts and rate it and tell your friends. And Soren, anything else? Bacon, anything else?
Yep, Bacon. Your signature goodbye.
Shoot for the stars and you'll land on the moon.
No, that's mine. Motherfucker. All right, well, we'll work on it.
All right.
All right, bye.